And we're back, and again, that is Kitito Mahigo singing a song which got him into prison, and now he is dead at the hands of the Paul Kagame's government. There's no accounting by that government of how he happened to die in prison. By the way, go to Ann Garrison, sfbayview.com. You'll find that song and the text with it. And at the four-minute mark, you'll see the phrases that got him in trouble. We're joined now, I believe, by Stephen Gowans. Are you there, Stephen?
Yes. Hello, Phil.
Well, it's great to be talking to you, Stephen. You've written starting with the headline, that we should applaud Syrian military actions in Idlib. And, of course, that's not what I'm reading in the Globe and Mail with the Toronto Star, CBS, CNN, and various other, Human Rights Watch, Amnesty. They are all very concerned about refugees, and they claim that all the targets of the Syrian army are hospitals, schools, and children. I think you differ with that. What's going on?
Well, I do differ, and I'm very concerned with the way in which this is being presented in this very sly and dishonest way. Some of the worst today, Robert Ford, who's a U.S. ambassador to Syria previously, has written an article in Foreign Affairs, which is perhaps the worst I've ever seen on this, in which he essentially says that, you know, the worst fears of millions of Syrians are coming true. The Syrian army implies wants to kill millions of Syrian civilians. And this is generally the way in which this has been presented, that this military offensive that's been undertaken by the Syrian Arab army, backed by its Russian allies and Iranian allies, has the aim of killing civilians. That's the way it's presented, and we're supposed to believe that there are Syrians sitting in Idlib, minding their own business, opposed to the Assad government, who are now the targets of this so-called brutal military strike. And this story is a complete distortion, and what it does is it fails to mention some very critical things. One of which is that Idlib isn't a province at peace in which a bunch of civilians opposed to the Assad government are living. It is, in fact, an al-Qaeda mini-state. And that might seem an extreme statement, that's an al-Qaeda mini-state, but that is the description provided by the veteran foreign correspondent Patrick Coburn, who had been writing on this, and that was his description. Brett McKirk, who is the U.S. envoy to the U.S. campaign against ISIS, called Idlib, you know, the province in northeastern or western Syria in which this campaign, this military campaign, is being undertaken. He called that the largest al-Qaeda safe haven since 9/11. What has been distorted here, or the story that hasn't been told, is that rather than civilians sitting in a part of Syria minding their own business, what has happened is that al-Qaeda has essentially established a tyranny over millions of Syrians in this part of Syria. And the Syrian government and its allies are seeking to liberate that territory from this al-Qaeda tyranny.
Yeah, well, and by the way, I mean, I guess there's two things to say. One is maybe it's a good sign, or a sign of how much trouble they're in, if they're starting to write the most desperate, absurd things. But also, when it comes to U.S. using violence when it claims to be fighting ISIS, they come out the most vicious, do they not? I mean, they had an episode in a city where they blasted everything that walked.
That was in Raqqa, which was the capital of the ISIS caliphate. Yes, and to take that territory, you're right. Essentially, they besieged the city. They destroyed it. There were quite a few refugees, and people had to flee. And there were civilian casualties.
And there was no big story that, oh, the poor refugees and look what's happening.
No.
Americans were allowed to explain themselves, and the American press liked the explanation.
Yeah, it was duly noted in some newspapers. Some concern was expressed, but essentially no one has called this, as they're calling what's happening in Idlib, the greatest horror story of the 21st century. Instead, they quoted the U.S. Defense Secretary at the time, Jim Mattis, who said, well, you know, civilian casualties are what happen when you try and recover territory. That's to be expected.
U.S. Military doctrine, and again, the media, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, always like it when they hear it, which is, you know, you mess with us and we will make you pay 10 to 1. That's pretty much the doctrine, and most Americans feel very exceptional that way. They are the indispensable country, and they, when they dispense justice, they do it with bare knuckles.
Yeah, that's true.
They're former justice.
But I mean, there's still a big difference between the United States taking Raqqa and the Syrian army trying to recover territory within Syria. I mean, mm-hmm. the United States was taking territory. Well, the United States was uninvited. The United States is a foreign power. In this case, we have a legitimate government recovering its own territory, a legitimate government which has an obligation to protect its own civilians, and its civilians are under attack by an al-Qaeda mini-state. I mean, what isn't mentioned today, but has been mentioned in mainstream media previously. A lot of things have been mentioned in mainstream media previously about Idlib, but seem to have been forgotten today. But you can find, if you ever read, you know, Western newspaper, U.S. newspapers, that al-Qaeda has been killing civilians. They've forced more than 10,000 to flee. They're shelling towns and villages. This wasn't pleasant or pretty, and nor is being under occupation by al-Qaeda a pretty scene. Well, and that's why I think we ought to be applauding the Syrian Arab Army, because this is a progressive move. I mean, it's recovering territory, it's recovering national sovereignty, but it's also protecting the civilians of northwestern Syria.
Yeah. A kind of madness has come along with the U.S. and Turkish methods, which is to, and people like Noam Chomsky have contributed to it. They've because of this doctrine of humanitarian intervention, etc. They try to erase borders with this, and Turkey's government is, they rationalize their presence uninvited, and arming people, and the U.S. does it. And to me, that always raises a bit of a question with the problem of the war on terrorism, because these are armed groups that couldn't afford a box full of pistols on their own. Somebody is giving them tanks and SAM missiles and all sorts of weaponry. And it's really a surrogate war, I mean, of the kind, by the way, under, as I understand, international law, Syria would be within its rights to attack both Turkey and the United States, because they're involved in this attack on the sovereignty of Syria.
Well, precisely, and this is another part of the distortion. Ford, in his article on Foreign Affairs Today, talks about a civil war. The New York Times, in an editorial today, talks about a civil war. They want to present this as a civil war so that we're supposed to assume that the Syrian government is attacking a bunch of people in Idlib who, we're to believe, don't like the Syrian government. But it's hardly a civil war when it's a war waged by proxies, as you're pointing out. Al-Qaeda, in this case, the al-Qaeda group, it happens to be a proxy of Turkey and a proxy of the Saudis, who had been coordinating their activities. Also, we have occupation of Syrian territory by the Turks We have occupation of Syrian territory by the United States and by Israel. So this would hardly be called simply a civil war. It's a war with a large international component. And moreover, many of these jihadist groups are made up of people who've come from elsewhere in the world. And this is true of this al-Qaeda mini-state imposed upon the people of Idlib. It's a mini-state or an oppression that's being perpetrated by a group that's not only made up of Syrians, but is made up of thousands of fighters who've come from Europe and elsewhere. Essentially a foreign conquest, if you wanted to put it that way.
One that seems to have run its course. We are entering a kind of phase here, I would say pretty dangerous. I'm looking at today's statement from Russia warning Turkey, and the language they use, it has to do with your initial part of this interview, is it? They're saying, we had the Sochi Agreement. Sochi Agreement, the key element of it is recognizes complete sovereignty of Syria and its territory. And also that it is fighting terrorists, and that those who are in opposition, who wish not to be wish to be part of a peace agreement, that's available to them. But the armed people cannot continue. According to Russia Today, Turkey is not living up to that, and it's going to have to live up to it. That is, it's going to have to separate the bad guys and help bring about an end to this. But most importantly, saying that Syrian territory is secure.
Yeah, and Turkey didn't live up to its side of that agreement, which is one of the reasons why this offensive has been launched, which invites the question. It didn't live up to its agreement. Its proxy, Al-Qaeda, didn't stop fighting, didn't stop shelling villages and towns, didn't stop attacking Syrian government forces, didn't stop attacking Russian air bases, which invites the question, what is the Syrian government to do when it's attacked?
And by the way, hasn't Syria, in fact, been extremely patient? They've been at the border now of this terrorist stronghold, the Nusra, ISIS, Al-Qaeda. I wish they'd make up their minds what the name of this thing. But they've been ready, in a position to take care of these guys for a couple of years, but Turkey has been doing baffle gab to try to keep it going, right?
Yeah, I mean, they would like to keep it going. And I should have mentioned that one of the other reasons that this military campaign has been undertaken is because Assad, the president of Syria, has made clear that his intention is to recover every inch of Syria, as he ought to. The way this is presented in the Western media is that this is some kind of extraordinary claim that... Like, this is beyond the pale. He's going to recover his territory. And they don't talk about recovering territory or liberating.
And that includes coming into our oil territory, which is in Syria.
Yes, which the United States is protecting.
Our flags are flying there. It must be our territory.
Yes. But the language they use is that Assad wants to recapture all of Idlib. That somehow it was captured first, or wants to take back every inch. Or not take back, but to take every inch, as if he has no claim, or the Syrian government has no legitimate claim to its own territory. The most extraordinary thing is that Ford, in his article today, condemned the Syrian government for what he said was its violating of international legal norms, while at the same time praising the Turks, who have just invaded Syria and are occupying Syria.
And the Turkish government brought Syrian cutthroats with them, and also some of the foreign fighters.
Yes.
All of which sounds illegal to me. I mean, if you try to cross the border, you know, the people will stop you and say, you know, do you have any weapons, or what's your intent for being? How long do you intend to stay? Apparently, the Ambassador Ford thinks it's fine for terrorists to cross the border if it's a Syrian border.
Yeah, it's fine for the Turks to invade, fine for the United States to invade and occupy the territory. These are all violations of international legal norms. Recovering your own territory and liberating a territory that's under occupation by an Al-Qaeda group hardly constitutes violating an international legal norm.
Mm-hmm. Well, indeed. I mean, actually, there has always been this issue when you are fighting illegal armed groups that have been attacking civilians, and these guys definitely attack Christians and they attack people based on ethnicity. There is such a thing as hot pursuit. You know, they're not allowed to use borders to run back and forth. Those fine points used to be invoked about 20 years ago. You never hear that now. Stephen, Stephen Gowans has a book on all this where we should be mentioning. It's Washington's Long War on Syria, and we are talking about that long war, and now we are in Idlib. We're in this wonderful situation where we get to see the occasional video clip. You must have seen the American Army officer stopped by the Syrian Army, and he said, "We're here like Russia to fight ISIS." There he was, an actual American Army officer talking. And, well, what's the answer to that, Stephen?
That's a pretext. And there are times at which the U.S. foreign policy establishment, particularly James Mattis, when he was around, were quite clear about why it is that the United States is in Syria. It had nothing to do with ISIS, but they realize that they better say that to make it legitimate. But it's holding territory, holding territory to ensure that the Syrian government doesn't recover this territory in northwest Syria, which contains most of the fertile farmland and also the oil wells, which are being, quote, protected by the U.S. forces.
And sold on their behalf, but shared by American banks.
Yes.
Extraordinary. Stephen, that's a great article. By the way, it's gowans.wordpress.com. Am I right that they can find this?
Yeah, or gowans.blog.
.blog, pardon me. Actually, they write your name, they're going to find it. I agree with you. I think it's a wonderful text. And your book, Washington's Long War on Syria, everybody should get a copy. Thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you. Okay.
Bye. Bye-bye. Taylor Report, CIT 89.5 FM. And I'm glad that highway between Damascus and Aleppo has been cleared. I hope they clear out Idlib soon. It is their job, their responsibility. They're protecting us all from a very nasty group of foreign-sponsored jihadis. So home base is Saudi Arabia, and the big home base is Washington, D.C.